So this is episode DRAWRLM001, and I'm known as Craig. I'll give out my Linktree link closer towards the end of this broadcast. But first, I want to start with some general housekeeping as to what this broadcast will be about. It's been a mystery to me up until the making of this recording. I've since narrowed it down to an analogy, much like the sketchbooks I keep that are part scrapbook, part notes for ideas to develop later on, and part fully-fledged renderings and or illustrations. This broadcast is going to be an eclectic mix of topics concerning the Bible, legalism, and I imagine a whole lot more. All in an effort to share, to highlight upon topics that I find to be of interest. It certainly is not meant to self-aggrandize. Interest that I hope will prove to be useful to you in your life. You know, like a ripple effect that ripples outward across the entire body of water. If that makes any sense. If you catch my drift. Some of it will be quite anecdotal. I'll do my utmost, though, to provide source material, be it by way of some clips, naturally used for educative purposes only, and so that you yourselves can follow up on these topics. Another general housekeeping note I'd like to make is it's an honor to be able to contribute some content to the same platform where Hal Anthony's Behind the Woodshed is broadcast from. The word impressive would be an understatement concerning the tremendous output all these years Hal has and continues to offer. The Behind the Woodshed broadcast is quite a great resource, and I highly encourage you all to regularly tune in. No caveats or disclaimers needed. I would suggest that you listen carefully, take notes as you go along, and pluck out those nuggets of wisdom Hal drops on a regular basis so that you can defend yourselves and your loved ones the proper way, legalistically, administratively. Because voting harder is not going to change much, folks. As I had said, to defend yourselves and your loved ones the proper way, legalistically, administratively. Anyway, whichever jurisdiction you may find yourselves in, be it Quebec, Canada, United Kingdom, or the United States of America, so-called, he's a very well-read and wise person, so you cannot go wrong taking yourself behind the woodshed. Moving on, as the digital panopticon is being built up around us with increasing censorship on these major social media platforms on the interwebs, I can foresee virtual places like Real Liberty Media being the remaining few places that are not so heavily censored. So, to conclude this general housekeeping segment, I'd like to encourage you to make a donation to RLM today to keep this space open for as long as possible. There is a donation button right on the front page of the RLM website. The only insignificant donation amount made is the one that wasn't made at all. Moving on, I'll be using some clips here and there to punctuate the topics I want to address. And concerning this, once again, here anyways, I will add a caveat. Just because I reference a website or some channel or a particular person's oeuvre doesn't mean I fully endorse every little thing that these resources espouse or will espouse in the future. To be clear, notwithstanding the scriptures, I guess, which is a perfect segue into a recent experience that I'd like to relate to you all. So before I do, I want to recite some relevant Bible verses. The following is from the book of Proverbs, which you can find on the Blue Letter Bible.org website. It is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which reads, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." And you see, it's the chains about thy neck part that I want to draw your attention to. I had this necklace with a little charm on it, which was exceedingly difficult to find, and I'm very glad that I had found it. It was quite inexpensive. Those that know me well, I don't usually wear jewelry, not even a watch. However, given the world's and my own circumstances, I wanted a means to broadcast in a subtle way to friends and like-minded folks where I was coming from. So, for lack of a better word, the charm on the necklace is called an ichthys, spelled I-C-H-T-H-Y-S, ichthys. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this symbol, I'm going to include some clips from a video that I found on YouTube that explains some of the symbolism. Once again, I'm including this here for educative purposes only. I don't claim copyright to this material whatsoever. Unfortunately, I have to add that disclaimer. It should be evident, but self-evident. But anyways, moving on. The title of the video is, "Why is the fish a Christian symbol? Origins of the ichthys." So without further delay, I'm going to include that right here, right now.
The word ichthys is Greek for fish. The symbol is portrayed as two simple arcs forming a fish-like body and tail, often with the word ichthys written inside of it. There's no definite reason as to why early Christians gravitated towards the symbol of the fish, but there are quite a few factors that made it a surprisingly fitting choice. As early as the first century, Christians were using the word ichthys as an acrostic to refer to Jesus. I, Jesus. C, Christus. T, Theo. Y, Ios. S, Soter. Meaning Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. In addition to this, the pronunciation of ichthys and Iosus Christus are somewhat similar, further strengthening the association between fish and Jesus. But the symbolism goes beyond just the sound and the letters of these words. In the New Testament, fish are mentioned several times, such as in the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just two fishes and four loaves of bread. Christ also frequently calls his disciples the fishers of men. Water baptism was standard practice for early Christians and generally took place in rivers, which created another parallel between the followers of Christ and fishes. All these reasons make the fish an excellent symbolic choice. But there were also practical reasons for the early Christians to adopt such a symbol for their religion. For the first few centuries after Christ's crucifixion, Christians were persecuted across the Roman Empire. This forced the followers of Christ's teachings to hide their beliefs and to gather in secret. At the time, the fish symbol was quite common as it existed in other pagan religions, likely as a symbol of fertility. The early Christians could use the symbol relatively freely without arousing suspicion. Legend has it that Christians would mark the entrances of their gathering spaces with the fish symbol so that newcomers to the religion would know where to go. Christians on the road would also have a simple greeting ritual to confirm their religion to each other. One of the two strangers would draw the first arc of the ichthys nonchalantly as if just doodling in the sand. If the second stranger finished the symbol by drawing the other line, then the two would know that they were in safe company. Should the second stranger not finish the drawing, however, the first would pretend the arc didn't mean anything and would avoid persecution by remaining silent about their faith. Christianity continued to grow despite the campaigns launched by Roman emperors against a new religion.
And there you have it. For the record, I'm not too comfortable with the use of the word Christian, quote unquote. They just say, Christ Jesus never declared his followers to be Christians. To follow Christ Jesus is to be a follower of the truth, the life, and the way. But all that is another story for another day, I suppose. Anyways, moving on with my point here, with the necklace and the charm, with the ichthys. With many such necklaces, I found that usually the ichthys is dangling from the snout of the fish's head, if you will. And the one that I found is quite rare in that it keeps the symbol in its correct vertical orientation. So horizontally, not vertically. Anyway, I'm going somewhere with all this, folks. Hang in there. Unfortunately, the chain broke. So wanting to have it repaired, I did my due diligence, and I found a local jeweler who would be able to repair it. So I went to this establishment to have it repaired, and there was this young woman at the counter working there who answered my questions and took the necklace in to be repaired because it wasn't done on site. It was done somewhere else. But the thing is I had kept it in an envelope, and when I had pulled it out of the envelope, she kept looking at it, and she then asked me, you know, isn't this a symbol for the church or Christ Jesus or something, or what is this? So I began to explain it to her. You know, I told her, well, a cross or crucifix is a symbol for the church or a church. However, the ichthys specifically is a symbol for Christ Jesus. And then she began to talk to me about how she had been on her own journey as of late, a spiritual journey. As an aside, you know, we're all on a spiritual journey here, whether we know it or not. But anyway, so she continued on and she said, well, you know, that, you know, she had been praying to the Most High about what she should do and that concerning her journey, that she wanted to know more about the wisdom of the scriptures and that, you know, should she join a church or, you know, should she do this or should she do that? You know, she's asked me these questions, you know, telling me all this, that is to say, much to her employer's chagrin. But I continued the conversation and answered her questions as best as I could. And I told her that I was thinking about doing a podcast or a broadcast discussing these very topics because I see a need out there that folks want to know more about these sorts of topics, especially, you know, people like herself, like people in their 20s who want to have some sort of spiritual life and who want to have a connection with the Most High, that is to say, to develop a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. And they don't have many, like, good places to go for that, from what I've seen. And I say that because, like, when you start to study the scriptures, like, for oneself, you start to see things in a whole different light, the light of truth. And over the course of the conversation, with steam coming out of her employer's ears from the back of the shop, I told her that a lot of people equate the church or a church with the Bible itself. And these churches, whichever one you want to choose from, these tax-exempt type churches, they're totally corrupt. They've been infiltrated. And, you know, have become like false religions in our own time. They do not espouse the teachings of the gospel. They preach church. They preach their own perspective. You know, and as I was to, even in my own study, I was to come across this in studying the revelation of Christ Jesus. Anyways, moving on. So I continued to tell her that a lot of people wind up throwing out the baby Jesus with the bathwater, especially the older generations, like my parents, grandparents, maybe not like completely, but for the most part. And I told her, like, in a sense, rightfully so, that they had cut the church out of their lives, or whichever, group they were attending, whichever one it was, because of the, well, you guys know, you know, because of how it can be, and because of the controversies and whatnot. But unfortunately, they also cut out the wisdom of the scriptures. And it's, you know, that their children and grandchildren would come to suffer because of this, you know, using myself as an example. You know, their foundation is become something completely Romanized and secularized. And yeah, anyways, so I went on to tell her that places like in Canada, where the Charter of Rights and Freedoms recognizes God, which the Quebec Charter is supposed to be in harmony with, that you know, if one is a Canadian citizen, technically one is to be well versed in the Bible. You know, if one is a Canadian citizen, technically one is a follower of Christ Jesus by default. It's right there in the charter. Like, I know people don't like to hear that, but that's what it says in the black and white. And speaking of the black and white, we also spoke about how many different versions of the Bible exist. You know, there's the Catholic Bible, the Anglican Bible, the Masonic Bible, so on and so forth. And she didn't even know about any of that. And I didn't know about that either up until, like, recently. I always thought there was only just one Bible. Like, what do you mean there are different versions, as I was to discover on my own journey? Anyway, I suggested to her the King James Version because it's the one used at the Supreme Court level, at least in this country, and if it's good enough for them, then it's good enough for me. I know some folks don't like the flowery language used therein. Personally, I think it's great. It's like exercise for your mind, for your spirit. I have been told that the New American Standard Bible is a good alternative. If one doesn't like all that flowery old English language of the AKJV, but, you know, chaque à son goût, as the French say, to each their own flavor, to each their own. Anyways, whichever version one uses, it's about unlocking the wisdom of the scriptures for oneself and to be able to share that with others thereafter. I guess if one is so inclined to do so, you know, that is, it's about building one's own relationship with Christ Jesus and then being able to share that, once again, if one is so inclined to do so. And I put it that way to you because, well, like for me anyways, that is where it began. As challenging as that was for me at the time, launching into studying the scriptures was quite a challenge at first, I must say. I don't belong to any church or other association. The only such group I could or would support would be some like home-based congregation, I suppose. But just so you know, I'm as independent as they come. Anyways, I just don't belong to any of these sorts of groups that, you know, we all know about, these secret societies with their dark agendas. I guess I'll just leave it at that. There's no point naming names at this point, especially to this audience. You probably already know who half of them are. And one thing that's come to my attention recently is how these seemingly disparate groups, you know, they're all working together at the top end. You know, it's something, this combined effort, fulfilling each other's goals, it's just something that the folks at the pedestrian level just can't, they can't seem to wrap their head around. They can't seem to get it. I guess it comes with the indoctrination. Anyway, Moving on, something that, you know, people do have to wrap their heads around, or rather pay more closer attention to, are the words people use. You know, I've become quite sensitive to this in recent years. I think it can only aid oneself to be specific with one's words, not to mention listening carefully to the words others use. You know, because we live in a time where we can't afford to be lazy in our thinking, or lazy in our listening, or in our speech. You know, notice I didn't use the word religion, but rather the word spirituality. It's a little more open-ended. I'm making an effort here to be specific. Many before me have pointed out how this word magic, word trickery, is used to deceive people. And knowing that is like, it becomes like an aid to study the scriptures. And I highly recommend one gets oneself a good dictionary, such as, but like not limited to, like the Webster's 1828 dictionary. There are those before me who have brought this to my attention. Thank you. You know who you are. It's a great dictionary, I gotta tell you. It's kind of funny because that, much like the scriptures themselves, even this dictionary and other concepts and ideas would like come back to me around in my life. Like when I was a child, our family had a Webster's dictionary, like the old one. I think it was even the 1828 dictionary. But, I don't know, I have to verify that. But anyways, moving on about this subject of dictionaries, a good legal dictionary as well. You know, like a Black's Law dictionary, probably the earlier the version, the better, would prove useful in many ways. Anyway, getting back to my conversation with this jeweler here, I was impressed with her, to be quite honest. She was wise in that she already understood that the scriptures is not a book one can just pick up and start reading like a novel. She agreed with me when I said to her, you need other books to aid your study of the scriptures. She got that part. So, such as having like a good concordance or an unabridged commentary can also aid one in researching the Bible. Such as like another great book that's been brought to my attention over the years is Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible. That was really an eye-opener for me. Not that I'm endorsing Anglicanism by making such a recommendation either, like just to be clear here, but nonetheless, it is a great resource. Like if you look around online, I'm sure you'll still be able to find some used copies available. Speaking about like online versions of these sorts of books and having the actual print version in front of you, I always prefer the print version because, as opposed to like the digital versions, I know it's more convenient, but, most of you probably already know this, that anything that comes in a digital format is easily manipulable. And, how would you otherwise know if the information contained therein is accurate or not? Hence, it's more advantageous to have the actual book in front of you. Although some of these books, I know they can be quite budget-busting, but consider it an investment in yourself. Anyway, continuing on with the topic of this conversation that I had with this jeweler here, I told her like I didn't have a blog or a book concerning these topics. I've just been gathering information over the years in my life. And sure enough, I've taken many false turns. I've gone down many blind alleys. I would add here that you certainly shouldn't just take anyone's word for something, not even mine. If something I said or something somebody else has said in a presentation, you know, you have to do your own research, you know, not necessarily on that person, although what you can find or not find, but I mean on what they're talking about. You gotta verify as much as you can for yourself, if you can, if it's even verifiable. Because a lot of people like to freestyle things, and that's like a double-edged sword, you know? So just take the time to do your own research, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. It's the same thing I said to her. Anyway, moving on, I would like to include another audio clip here, which concerns many topics, like Fraud 19, the mRNA gene editing therapy poison, government overreach, and yes, even Christ Jesus. It's a clip I preserved some time ago that I had found on BitChute. Once again, I have to add a caveat that this is for educative purposes only. Anyway, the title of the video is Pastor Steve Cioccolanti. Oh boy, I hope I'm saying that right. I apologize if I didn't say that correctly. Maybe I'll start that again. Yeah, let me try that, pronouncing that name correctly again. Pastor Steve Cioccolanti. What is happening in Australia? Possibly you've already seen it. I think he offers a great deal of insight. So let's have a listen here, shall we?
Because I love Australia, I have to tell the world what is happening here. It is not an exaggeration to say that we're heading down the path of dictatorship. People who disagree with the government are like sheep hunted by wolves. Protesters are shot at. The police come knocking on your door. Employers tell you to resign with severance or get fired without one. Now, what's happening? Let me list you some of the things. If you're not vaccinated, you lose your voting rights as a member of parliament. This is something unprecedented. I believe we're the first state in the history of the world, in the history of democracy. It's the first time where elected representatives cannot represent the people because they're part of the dissenting voice of the people. If you're not vaccinated here in Victoria, you can't work. It's the no jab, no job policy directive. What happens if you don't comply? $21,000 fine for an individual, $110,000 fine for a church or a business. These are absurd rules and arbitrary fines. They're cruel and they're unusual penalties for non-compliance. I think they're just designed to strike fear in the heart of people. Number three, if you're not vaccinated, you can't shop, eat out, or get a haircut. And the rules are becoming stricter and stricter. As I say, they boil you slowly. They've already written down that eventually, if you're not vaccinated, you can't access all basic services until 2023. So this is the no shot, no shop. No shot, no shop. The fine again is $110,000 for the shop and $21,000 for the individual that doesn't comply. So by the very definition, the people now are slaves. You know, a slave is someone who needs permission to eat, to work, to worship, to travel, to shop, to get a haircut, to eat outside, to go to the gym, to travel. You need permission from a very overbearing state. Well, you say then just don't worry about it, get vaccinated. Okay, if you're vaccinated, you must check in using a QR code which allows the government to track you. Now, all businesses are being roped in to become part of the state's total digital surveillance apparatus. They want electronic record keeping by all businesses. Customers are to, quote, check in everywhere you visit using the Service Victoria app, no matter how long you spend at that location, close quote. Number five, if you are vaccinated, you will soon have to use the eQR code every time you make a purchase. This way, nobody can, I guess, skip on being tracked, as soon as you spend or make a purchase, this EQR will automatically track both your spending and your location digitally. And it all gets reported. Number six, all of this is leading towards implementing the Australian Digital ID system, which in my view is a totalitarian control over the states. Now, some people, they don't believe all this, even living here. It's kind of like the people in Germany. They didn't believe fascism. They didn't believe Nazism was going to murder, you know, in World War II, 75 million people. Not just 6 million Jews, 75 million. They couldn't see it. They couldn't fathom it. And people went to the Olympics when Hitler, you know, put on a show. And the description, when you watch like documentaries about World War II, is how often people say they were surprised by what Adolf Hitler did. So the people here doubt that this is going to lead any further. But in case you doubt that the goal is political control and not merely our medical welfare, on Tuesday, the 26th of October, 2021, the premier of this state, Dan Andrews, tabled a law to give him permanent emergency powers. Okay, this is not like Star Wars and, you know, the Emperor getting emergency powers, right? I mean, it sounds like a movie. It sounds like the plot of a dystopian movie. This is real. He will be able, when this law passes, to declare lockdowns, impose fines, and impose jail time at his pleasure on political dissidents, anyone who disagrees with him. Normally, a bill would sit in Parliament for at least a month for debate, but 2 days later, it was tabled on the 26th. 2 days later, on the 28th, this bill has already passed the lower house. Now, how is it that they get away with this? Because, again, remember premise number one that I showed you. If you are not vaccinated, you cannot enter Parliament or even vote digitally. I mean, we have the Internet, right? If you're going to exclude them because of health reasons, elected officials, you're going to exclude them from entering basically like the equivalent of Congress, you could say, okay, we're concerned about our safety, but you have a right to represent the people. So just press a button and send your vote in digitally. Nope. They made sure anyone who doesn't vax or disagrees with their policy cannot even vote. So they can push through, they can ram through things like permanent emergency power. And I'll give you a citation, I'll give you a secular news article that talks about it. Because a lot of people don't believe. It's like living in Germany, and people don't believe what's happening and then the rise of Nazism. The ridiculousness of the fines knows no bounds. It reaches even to the children. If you don't wear a mask, the fine for children under 15 is now $181.74. I'm not sure what the 74 cents does, but, you know, they make it very precise, I guess. The fine for children between the ages of 15 and 18 is now $726.96. Can you imagine that? Which 15-year-old is going to pay over $700 for not wearing a mask? And what has this got to do with health? Number eight, the government is turning every business and church into a branch of their digital surveillance. They are encouraging gyms, shops, and businesses to have snitches, what they call COVID marshals, to report a breach of emergency restrictions. And they say community members can raise concerns about compliance with directions through a police assistance line, a PAL. You can be a PAL. And they give the number. And I just find that amazing because every police person I've ever met is already overworked. Many times as a pastor, I've had to deal with people who have had break-ins or thefts. And the police either respond an hour later or don't even come. I mean, this is not once or twice. We've had a break-in as a church. We had over $20,000 of equipment stolen. The police never came. When we finally got to them, they took down a report, left. We never heard back. This, you know, somebody's out there with church equipment and, you know, God will deal with them. But The police are overworked. So now you're going to make a special hotline for people to snitch on each other. What does that sound like to you? If you know anything about history, you know that that sounds like fascism. Now, number 9, the worst part of all this is actually not all the above. It's not the politicians, because all politicians want power, and most of them want it indefinitely. That's no surprise to us. What is surprising to me as I live here and watch this is how willingly the average Australian complies with draconian measures and suffer the loss of their freedoms and rights. I hate to say it, but Australians tend to be a naive population, and many don't believe that any overreach is happening. Many are like sheep ready for the slaughter, and few understand the history of tyranny. You know, the government, if you're a Christian, you need to know, the government crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. The government sanctioned slavery. The government started the Iraq war on a lie. The government started the Afghanistan war on a lie. I am not anti-government because the Bible tells me that God puts certain people in power for our good. But when they don't act for our good, we need to be skeptical about giving them more power to abuse us. I believe that they should not have powers that are beyond the limits of the Constitution and the English Bill of Rights and the U.S. Bill of Rights. I am for holding accountable politicians who are corrupt and who lie to us. Well, what kind of lie? Well, there's a litany, a whole list of lies. They said no vaccine passport will ever be mandated. Well, that's a lie. That's coming. They said no mandatory vaccine. That's a lie. It's already here in every state. They said there'll just be a 7-day snap lockdown. That's a lie. It became 77 days. And even when they say lockdown is easing, it's not true because it becomes a lockout. They said lockdowns will give us freedom. That's a lie. They said 80% double vaccination will give us freedom to everybody. And that's a lie. Soon they will announce triple vaccination so you can buy your own freedom. And they won't end there. Because this is the history of tyranny. Soon, if you don't have monthly shots, basically a license to live, you won't be able to access your bank accounts and your property. And it always seemed far-fetched. Fascism and dictatorship seems far-fetched until you're in the middle of it.
And there you have it, folks. Now, obviously, that was from the height of the COVIDness, and you'll note at the top of that clip that Pastor Steve Chiocalanti said that quote, "We are headed down the path of dictatorship." Unquote. You know, I would suggest the word authoritarianism or authoritarian. You know, he spoke of the use of fear to manipulate the populace. And this is something you should all take note of. You know, in the scriptures, having no fear is a constant refrain there. You know, notwithstanding the fear of God's law, that is. I'll recite Matthew 10:28 to illustrate my point here. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He also spoke about being a slave. Now, like for myself, as well as all of you out there listening, you know, I've come to a conclusion about slavery that I'd like to share. I think to be alive on this earth, in this world, it's impossible for anyone, rich or poor, from the greatest to the lowliest, to escape slavery in the sense that one is going to be a slave no matter what. It's a given. However, one does get to choose as to what or whom, depending, one is going to be a slave to. Which brings to my mind a couple of phrases, such as like, you may have heard this one, being a slave to Christ Jesus, to mean to be a slave to the personification of God's law, that being Christ Jesus, which is quite a taunting task indeed, I ought to know. As well, you know, all this brought to my mind a quote from Horace Greeley. He said something to the effect, a Bible reading people cannot be enslaved. And a phrase like that, coming from such a well-to-do person as he was in his time, that should tell you something. That should tweak something in your mind. At least I hope it would. Of course, in that clip, the QR codes were mentioned, and eQR codes, and the use of a particular app. You know, enslavement. There's an app for that. You know, if you're going to use a phone, you know, be it an Android or Apple or whichever, you know, I would suggest that one does not sign up for any sort of an ID to like log into it. You know, the type of ID that allows you to like download apps, you know, furthermore, I'd go even further. I'd suggest to not even use the apps. I mean, usually most of these types of phones have like a web browser, that comes embedded already with it and use that instead. I know it's not convenient to have to go through the web browser to get to various websites. Then you got to enter in your credentials and all that. But it's sort of a way of sidestepping the process of having to use an app if you're going to use one of these types of phones, which, I mean, ideally, I mean, don't use these phones, I guess. What else I would add to that, which is a hard sell. I know how convenient it's become and how outright addictive it's become. You know, with what I know about this sort of technology, that the thing is it's the IEMI number that is used to digitally track and trace somebody who has one of those. And from what I know, there's no way to really disguise that number. Like, at least not that I'm aware of. Not for day-to-day, not for a day-to-day use type device, maybe a burner phone, but, you know, because the cellular provider service requires that number to be able to provide service to that particular mobile phone, which would then be attached to you by way of the contract with the service provider. So, sort of backtracking a bit to what I said earlier, it's like, why use these phones at all? It's how they're bringing all this in, you know? From what I've gathered so far, like, those old types of cellular phones that don't include Bluetooth or Wi-Fi connectivity, they're just not available anymore on the market. Those have been phased out. They were mobile phones, but they weren't smartphones, you see. So, unfortunately. But when it comes to government policies or convenient items and or services, such as having these types of mobile phones, you know, the public's most non-evasive option is simply to not comply. Stop playing into their game. It's a losing game, folks. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some sort of a Carrington event that'll like obliterate the usage of these sorts of phones. Anyway, moving on. He also mentioned emergency powers, emergency restrictions. You know, you out there listening to this internet radio station, you know, to the Behind the Woodshed and other programs here, you know, especially you out there that have children and or grandchildren, you had best roll up your sleeves and start studying the laws and policies of your local jurisdiction as it pertains to you. Notice I made a distinction between the two. Much as I had mentioned at the top of this broadcast, you had better start learning how to defend yourself administratively, legalistically,
via writing registered letters to your officials. You know, get involved with your own due process. You know, otherwise, the future of your children and grandchildren will be one such as you probably could never have imagined, or would shudder to imagine. And you know, I make this suggestion over the unthinkable, because the unthinkable, such as a violent action taken en masse, it's not going to change much. I can't help but think to myself that many of these people, you know, in the news lately, in recent years, who've committed mass shootings, or who have like self-immolated themselves, or taken such drastic actions, notwithstanding, unless they were totally unstable, nor like completely directly under like government mind control, psyops. I think some of them were, but I think some of these people, you know, who took these actions, you know, if only they had taken into consideration the wisdom of the scriptures, as well as like legalism, that is to say, their due process, maybe they would have taken a different path, you know, a path other than the ones they had chosen, you know, such as killing themselves, let alone other people. And I say this to you in part because I read their manifestos, because I want to know what went wrong. I want to know what they were thinking. And I've noticed that they almost never mention the wisdom of the Bible, and they certainly don't mention the rationale of the legal system as it is. So, you know, the unthinkable, like violent action taken en masse, this is exactly what the powers that shouldn't be want the populace to want to have happen. You know, that the situation is hopeless, that the violent revolutionary spirit is the only way out, when in truth it is not. You know, for those that know me in real life, they know, you know, I've never advocated for such violent actions, and I'm not going to start now. No. N-O. Rather, no. K-N-O-W. You know, you gotta discern things first, you know, be discerning in your search for wisdom. And I'll even throw in another Bible verse concerning this for good measure, which also alludes to what I was saying earlier. Once again, I'm quoting here from the book of Proverbs 10:13. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. A rod? How about a lethal injection? You know, sounds far-fetched, right? Is it? Well, continuing on, I might conclude this broadcast with a specially selected tune, once again, for educative purposes only. And to start to wrap things up here, I don't have much of a presence on the interwebs, but you can always email me if you like at the following address. That is a ARTOFCRAIGS, Art of Craigs, or as I like to say it, Art of Craig S, at protonmail.com. And you can find my links to where I am on the interwebs on my Linktree page, which I will recite to you. Well, maybe not the whole address. It gets kind of a little lengthy. But if you type into like a search, a web search browser, in your browser, type into a web search, Linktree, and ART underscore OF underscore Craig, C-R-A-I-G underscore S. So Linktree plus ART underscore of underscore Craig underscore S. You should be able to find my Linktree. And whatever, if it isn't posted there on my Linktree, then it's not legit. You know, in recent years, there already have been fraudulent accounts appearing on the interwebs by whoever is masquerading to be me. Even posting my artworks. So if, you know, if I had known that I was such a threat to the evil that rules this world, I would have started this broadcast sooner. In any event, to conclude this broadcast, since many jurisdictions have elections coming up, I think I'll conclude this broadcast with a tune, a special tune. But hopefully you can draw some inspiration to do your own due diligence from what I had presented today. And with that, I'll leave it to you to draw your own conclusions.